thankful for this fine audience tonight and glad you've come to be in this service. If you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest, and we appreciate so much your presence. Come and be with us every opportunity you have. If you have access to a Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be studying tonight perfection. The word perfect, which is found in one form or another 14 times in this epistle. It talks about the perfection of Jesus and the perfection of man. And they are correlated. The perfection of Jesus made it possible for us to be perfected. According to Westcott, this word perfection means consummation. Bringing to perfection is characteristic of the epistle, he says. W. Vine states that teleosis, which is perfection, denotes a fulfillment, completion, perfection, and end accomplished as the effect of a process. So we're speaking of bringing to an end, a goal, a consummation, a fulfillment. And when we consider Jesus, we see that he had to experience some things while here in the flesh in order to qualify himself to be a priest, and in doing that, he was perfected. In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now notice verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And then in chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now the perfection of Jesus, brethren, has nothing to do with his character. It was impeccable. He was spotless, blameless, harmless. Hebrews 4, verse 15 states that he had no sin, that he's tempted in all points, yet like as we are, without sin. So Jesus' perfection had nothing to do with any justification of his soul, any forgiveness on the part of God, but rather he completed his course, qualifying course, to be a priest. He suffered as man. He was tempted as we are. And it was consummated at Calvary. And so Jesus became perfect. The captain, the leader, and the author, the source or cause of our salvation. Man needed a perfect Savior, a perfect priest, a perfect priesthood, and a perfect sacrifice. And he finds these in Jesus the Christ. Raymond Brown, in his commentary on Hebrews, observes these things about Christ's perfection or completion. Brown says, first, that he became perfect in his vocation. He determined to do God's will in every part of his life, and he did. Secondly, he became perfect in obedience, as Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9 tell us. Third, he became perfect in his identification. Brown says, although Christ certainly loved us in his pre-existence, this letter, that is Hebrews, is about to emphasize that he had to become like us in our humanity in order to achieve our eternal redemption. So he identified himself with man. And fourthly, or finally, he became perfect in his conquest. Jesus overcame this world and conquered death. And so he was perfected. He was completed. F.B. Meyer says so eloquently, and when I read this, I was impressed and touched with what Meyer had to say concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to share some of these things with you. Meyer said, of course, talking about the perfection of Jesus, of course, this does not refer to his moral or spiritual attributes. In these, he is possessed of the stature of the perfect man and has filled out in every detail God's ideal of manhood. Jesus, if I may pause a moment, became what man should have been, or was what man should have been. Then Meyer says, but he might have been all this without being perfectly adapted to the work of leading many sons through suffering to glory. He might have been perfect in character and desires to help us, but if he had never tasted death, how could he allay our fears as we tread the verge of Jordan? If he had never been tempted, how could he succor those who are tempted? If he had never wept, how could he staunch our tears? If he'd never suffered, and hungered, and wearied on the hill of difficulty, or threaded his way through the quagmires of grief, how could he have been a merciful and faithful high priest, having compassion on the ignorant and wayward? But thank God our leader is a perfect one. He is perfectly adapted to his task. His certificate, countersigned by the voice of inspiration, declares him fully qualified. And you just think about all this, friends. Why did our Savior come to earth? And one of the reasons was to equip himself, or to qualify himself to be our priest. And he came and lived among us and was perfected. That is, his mission was completed. He did what was necessary in order to be the priest of man, the high priest. And though in all points he was tempted like as we are, he didn't sin. And he was obedient unto the Father in all of his activities. He suffered even to the death of the cross that he might become the author of our eternal salvation. Indeed, we're touched with the song that we sing, how my heart humbly bows in his presence today. When I think of his agony, by his stripes I am freed from the bondage of sin through his suffering on Calvary. Jesus was perfected. And as a result or consequence of that, we can be perfected. Under the Levitical system or priesthood, it was impossible for man to have total access to God, to have a complete fellowship with God. And in chapter 7 of Hebrews, in verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, now we're talking about perfection, and if man could have been perfected by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? In chapter 9 and verse 9, when he talks about the Old Testament tabernacle and system and offerings and so forth, he says, or states, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. And in chapter 10 and verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now here are the Hebrew Christians being influenced by the Judaizers. They were on the verge of going back to the law of Moses. And that was what they'd left and come out of. And the writer of Hebrews saying, why are you going to the inferior? No one could be perfected under the Levitical system, and yet you want to return to that. By the blood of bulls and goats, it was impossible for sins to be removed. Man to come into a relationship with God. But we have that under Jesus the Christ. Now, in chapter 11 and verse 40, after he enumerates these Old Testament saints and their walking by faith and the consequence of their life, he says in verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now that doesn't mean that those Old Testament people or the saints like Abraham and Moses and the others that are mentioned here, salvation is dependent on anything I do, or you do, or anybody else in this dispensation. My activity, my work can save nobody. Now, I might be an instrument in bringing others to Christ, but friends, I can't save anybody. And New Testament Christians or saints cannot save Old Testament saints. Now, Old Testament saints were never actually saved. That is, totally, completely. They didn't have access to God as we do. They didn't have fellowship with God as we do. These sacrifices under Levitical system, under Moses' law, could not atone for sin. That's what he's saying in Hebrews. But there's a sense in some way that those people by us were perfected. Look at the passage again. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And what he's saying, if I understand it correctly, that through the means that we are perfected, so were they. Now look in your Bible to chapter 9 of Hebrews and verse
Let's start there with verse 14.
And here the inspired writer states, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now in the context of verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling unclean sanctified the purifying of the flesh, and that's what it did in the Old Testament, how much more should the blood of Christ purify your conscience or heart? And for this cause, verse 15, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So Jesus' death was retroactive, the effects of it, and his blood, as it were, flowed back to take care of those under the first dispensation. And they look forward to this in prospect. We look back to it, friends, as a historical fact. But we have the benefits of it, in fact. Whereas they anticipated it, you see. And so in Hebrews 11 and verse 40, they were made perfect with us, by us, not without us, were any of them made perfect. Now let's look at some things in view of what we have. Now, here the Bible teaches that we have perfection, that is, we have total access to God. Man has been brought into a total fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. The Levitical system couldn't do it. The gospel of the Son of God can do it. Now, in chapter 6 of Hebrews and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Well, here's your word again. What does he mean, going on unto perfection? I understand it to go on to full development in Christianity. Now, I know it's generally advocated that he's talking about Christian development. We become a new convert, and he's saying you leave the first principles, that is, like the teaching of the resurrection and faith and repentance and baptism, and you advance on to the deeper things of the gospel. Well, that might be so, but I doubt that's what he's saying. It seems to me, in view of the context, in fact, the whole book, that he's telling these Hebrew Christians that you leave the fundamentals of Judaism, of the law, the ABCs of Judaism. And you go on and complete, be perfected in Christianity. Now they didn't understand the first things, the first principles about the Old Testament law. The shadows, the types, the symbols of the Old Testament law. And you'll back up in chapter 5 and verse 11 beginning. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. That is, your perception is not correct. You can't comprehend what I'm about to talk about on the priesthood. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you should have advanced to the place where you're teaching others. But instead, you're still students. That is, you need somebody to teach you. You're not capable of teaching. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, the first principles of the oracles of God in verse 12 are the same as the principles of the doctrine of Christ in chapter 6, verse 1. So you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now you take a baby, a child, has to be taught in a very elementary way. In fact, we teach youngsters, little children with pictures. And we start out with ABCs, and I can vividly remember when I started the school in a one-room schoolhouse. We had all eight grades in one room. And had the old slate chalkboard, or blackboard. And you had at the top, perfect letters, capitals and in the lower case, A through Z, all across there. And we'd go to the board, and we'd try to duplicate those letters. Well, I never could do a very good job at it. But that's the way we started. And I remember the little books we had in the first grade that something like Ben Loves Alice. And here was the picture of the pony and the picture of the Peter Rabbit and all that we were learning. And what Paul is saying here spiritually, these Hebrews, you need to start all over in the first grade and go back here and learn the Old Testament as to what it says about Jesus Christ, that indeed he was to come and what was to characterize him and surround him, and he was to be priest and is now priest, and you learn that and advance to that. I believe that's what he's saying. This word leaving in verse 1 means to abandon, to totally detach oneself from, to move away from. And I just can't envision that this writer is saying that we detach ourselves from the resurrection, or we move away from what the Bible says on faith and repentance and baptism. And when you drop down here in the latter part of verse 1, verse 2, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and these were dead works of the law, I'm confident, and of faith toward God. You're to have not only faith toward God, but faith toward Christ. That's the difference between Judaism and New Testament Christianity. We're not to abandon our faith toward God, but we're to embrace faith in Christ as a Son of God. And you remember Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Well, all the Jews did. You believe in God, believe also in me. You get beyond then the pale of Judaism here in chapter 6 and verse 2 of the doctrine of baptisms. That's plural. Those are Jewish washings. I'm not talking about the baptism of Christ, and the baptism of John, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the baptism of fire, those baptisms of the New Testament. He's talking about Jewish washings. And this same word translated baptisms here is translated washings over in the ninth chapter. And so here's the baptisms of our washings of the under the Jewish system and of the laying on of hands of these sacrifices that they offered. Here's the laying on of the animals. Here was the laying on in the Old Testament of the priest. And then the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. He's talking about Judaism. And you as Christians, leave those that move beyond that. Go into Christianity in completeness and its fullness. There, ladies and gentlemen, is the perfection. And here's the wonderful message that we have in the book of Hebrews. That Jesus came, was perfected. His work was consummated, fulfilled. He qualified himself to be your priest. He's now at the right hand of God in heaven, interceding for us. We have been justified. We have been perfected. We can have total access to God. We can speak to God, fellowship with God through our high priest, Jesus Christ. And that's the message of this letter. And so leave to these people, leave Judaism. Get beyond the Old Testament shadows and types and be perfected. Come to maturity, spiritually speaking, in New Testament Christianity. And as a result of all of that, if we will appropriate what we have in Christ, be washed in his blood, and come into fellowship with the Lord, and live faithful, in chapter 12, of Hebrews and verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and innumerable company of angels. Now ye are come. Here's salvation now. Here's our spiritual citizenship. Philippians chapter 3, our conversation or citizenship is in heaven. Here's what we have in Jesus Christ. And verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Who are the spirits of just men made perfect? Well, I read from different ones, and they got different conclusions. Some say that these are the Old Testament saints that have been perfected by the death of Jesus Christ. Well, I know they were perfected by the death of Christ because we read that in Hebrews 9:15. Others are the Old Testament saints as well as New Testament saints who have died. My own inclination is that he's speaking about the Old Testament saints, the people of God prior to the cross. And here they are, perhaps in heaven. Some would differ with that. They'd say, well, they're in the Hadean realm in paradise. But wherever they are, these men, these spirits, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the other Old Testament worthies have been perfected. And they've been justified. And here they are in God's protection, in his possession, with the eternal reward assured, and the resurrection with glorified and immortal bodies in the after while. And here we are, what we have as a result of our perfection in Jesus the Christ. Now, there's two or three things more here that I'm going to quit. And that is, to realize all of this, we've got to lay hold on it. We've got to persevere. We've got to continue. And in chapter 4 of Hebrews, in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Not waver. And this principle, this exhortation here, brethren, is just as applicable, appropriate today as it was then, as to them then. We're not about to go back to Judaism because we didn't come out of it, or not to go into it. But there's a world out there that is alluring and enticing, and some of us have weakened where we are on the verge of going back into the world. Let us look as Abraham did to the city whose builder and maker is God. Let us look as Jesus did, the perfecter of faith in Hebrews chapter 12, who despised the shame and endured the cross because of what was ahead of him, the glory that was ahead of him. And let us hold fast our profession. Then in chapter 10 and in verse 22. Well, let's start with verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now there's heaven itself, the holiest. By new and living way. Never had been offered before. It's new, it's fresh, and it's living, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He made all this possible through his death. In verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God, and in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Well, here's the drawing near. You'll find that in the Hebrew letter. And that's what this perfection is all about. We're perfected in Christ. Draw near with a true heart in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And this is reference to our conversion. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Here's a repetition of what we read in chapter 4, verse 14. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now you observe over and over, let us, and we find this all through the Hebrew letter. And I don't care what Jesus did, friend, and all of the sacrifice he made and the opening up of heaven itself, a new and living way, and then we can be justified and perfected in fellowship with God. It's not going to do us one iota of good unless we receive it. And so here's what we have, and let's take advantage of it. And then eventually we'll be among the spirits of just men made perfect, and finally in the resurrection, clothed upon with immortality and glory and honor. I've talked long enough tonight. If you're in the audience and you're unsaved and not a Christian, we'd like for you to come and be perfected in Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God for what he did for us, that we can realize a relationship with God Almighty. If it hadn't been for his suffering, his life, his death, his resurrection, tonight we have no hope. But there is a living hope. It's the hope of the gospel. It's the hope that Jesus brought. It's heaven itself. And the Lord is coming again and receiving us unto himself. And where he is, there will be also. As we sing this tonight, if you're not a Christian, a child of God, we want you to come and put on Jesus Christ. Be baptized for remission of your sins, washed in his blood, made pure and whole. Why not tonight? Why not tonight? While together we stand, while we sing.